Over the past few years, you may have noticed people walking around expelling large clouds of vapor, and you may have wondered if they're pretending to be steam trains. Well, these people are in fact using electronic cigarettes. These electronic cigarettes, or vapes, vaporize a liquid that generally contains propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, flavoring, and nicotine. Many people have switched from tobacco smoking to vaping, claiming that it is far healthier and cheaper. The vaping industry has seen dramatic international growth over the past few years, with forecasts suggesting the industry will grow to over $40 billion during the next 4 years. It is safe to say that vaping has taken off, with quite the subculture forming around it. There are vape bars, vape communities, and even vape festivals. Although there are many proponents of vaping, there are also those that are staunchly opposed, claiming that it not only causes cancer, but looks stupid. I spoke to Chris Bullen, a professor of population health at the University of Auckland, and asked him about the health implications of vaping.
What we know is about, we don't know what's going to happen to people who are vaping, say now, and who are vaping now and in 10 or 20 years' time, so we don't have that information yet. But what we do have is pretty good information around what's actually in vapor, and we can compare that with what's in cigarette smoke. And what we know is that vapor from e-cigarettes doesn't contain a whole lot of the stuff that's really harmful that's in cigarette smoke. So on that basis, and what there is that's similar to in cigarette smoke tends to be at much, much lower levels. So on that basis, we would say that e-cigarette use, if it's a direct substitution for smoking cigarettes, if you quit all your cigarettes and just vape, then it would be a really good thing for your health. It's not going to be completely safe, as, say, quitting everything completely, but it would be a lot safer, probably 80 to 95% safer than continuing to smoke cigarettes.
Right, yeah, so there was the study out of the UK that indicated vaping was at least 95% safer than tobacco smoking. Did you accept the findings of that study?
Well, in part, that study was based around sort of expert advice based on the existing information they had available. What's happened since then is that more studies have been done looking at the various constituents. In effect, I've just had one of my students look at this, and what we found was we compared all the products from all the research that's been done on e-cigarettes and looking at the same constituents in cigarette smoke, and looking at the levels and finding them to be significantly orders of magnitude lower, and also well below the thresholds used by international agencies like the EPA, the Environmental Protection Organization in the United States, to say when something's carcinogenic or it's going to be harmful to your heart. And so the levels of the constituents of e-cigarette vapor in the studies that have been done are much, much lower. So I think they're pretty much on the money, but it will vary on how people use these devices and, you know, how long for, and the quality of the e-liquid that they're using.
So our government is making moves to legalise vaping, but at the same time, recently the Whanganui City Council has limited vaping in public places, with the Mayor Hamish McDougall claiming that it increases the chance of oral cancers and acts as a gateway to cigarettes. Is there any substance to these claims?
No, there is no substance to those claims. So, you know, there is a lot of ignorance out there, if I may be so bold to call that ignorance. It's really fear or concern about on sort of moral basis rather than any scientific evidence. So the gateway is the idea that particularly young people, children, who don't smoke will use e-cigarettes, and that will become a sort of a great gateway for them to move on to tobacco cigarettes. But there's very, very limited evidence from any research suggesting that's happening. There was a recent study published in a pretty prestigious journal in the US which purported to show a gateway effect. But what's actually happening with youth smoking in the US is that it's dropping dramatically, as it is here in New Zealand. So it doesn't line up with the overall population evidence. And the other piece of misinformation about oral cancer, there is no evidence that vaping causes oral cancer. Smoking and chewing tobacco is associated with oral cancer, but vaping is not the same as smoking. It doesn't involve combustion, it doesn't involve tobacco, and there is no evidence to support that statement.
Are there any secondhand vaping effects?
Yeah, that's the subject of quite a bit of scientific research, but the concentrations of harmful products that we find in cigarette smoke. It's just not there. The solution to pollution is dilution. So when you smoke outside, you know, the concentrations of harmful things tend to be much less than they are in an enclosed space such as a car. And it's the same applies to vaping. And because vaping produces so fewer toxic substances and in much lower levels than cigarette smoke, when you go outside, for example, then it's not such an issue. What does happen is that the sticky propylene glycol in the vaping cloud, the aerosol that's generated from any cigarette, it does adhere to surfaces, and if that has nicotine on it, then obviously some of those surfaces will have nicotine on them. But nicotine really isn't the harmful thing in smoking. It's all the other junk that goes along with it that kills people. Nicotine just makes people addicted to smoking. So I think going back to vaping in secondhand vaping, so-called, the risks to health, the evidence for that is not strong, much, much lower than secondhand smoke. And I think it should be up, at the moment, I think it should be up to individual premises owners to determine what their rules are about those issues.
Do you think the benefits of vaping outweigh the costs to public health?
Really good question. I think the evidence is now starting to emerge that that is indeed the case. A recent study in the British Medical Journal suggested that vaping has increased quit or smoking cessation in the US by about 25%. And so that's a big win for public health if you're getting lots of people quitting smoking. And there's been some really good work looking at, you know, even if there was a little bit of gateway effect, and that is swamped by the numbers of people who are actually quitting smoking. So the net public health benefit, if, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who are smokers transition completely across to e-cigarette, then the gains for public health are absolutely huge.
Last month, the Whanganui Council signed off on its new smoke-free policy that now restricts vaping in the CBD and public parks. This is partly a response to Regional Health Network figures that show over the past 3 years, smoking rates have increased by 2% in Whanganui. I spoke to Whanganui Mayor Hamish McDougall and asked him what he made of Professor Bullen's statements.
Our evidence was different. Obviously we'll be regularly reviewing the bylaw, but the policy. But we had a medical professional, a very experienced and well-qualified doctor speaking on behalf of a group saying that there is evidence. So, obviously, with a conflict of evidence, you're going to have to test it. What I would say is we had no submissions in support of vaping. So you've got to realise the mechanism of a committee hearing submissions. We deal with what's in front of us, but we totally acknowledged that there is no evidence about vaping being a portal gateway, but then vaping's remarkably new, and so in some of these circumstances you don't have a lot of evidence, and you've got to make an assessment about a new technology. I mean, look at synthetic cannabis. It was legal 4 years ago because it was a new thing that had come along, and now, of course, people are suffering terribly from it. I come back to an early statement. As an educative thing, it's not a punitive policy. Apart from the health concerns that the committee heard, the significant thing is people walking around with plumes of smoke.
Do you think that's just surrounding the taboo aspect of smoke, though? Well, it's vapor. It's not smoke. It looks like smoke. Do you think it's more cultural rather than actually evidence-based?
Well, certainly our decision was evidence-based. Now, whether that evidence is as full or not, that's another discussion. I'm staring down at one of the main streets of Whanganui right now, and I'm seeing 2-3 people smoking. Okay, so we've got a smoke-free policy in the CBD here. It's not evident that, you know, people are going, oh right, smoke free, I'll have to stub my cigarette out. So the idea is, over time, there'll be pressure on people giving up smoking, and there'll be pressure on people to reassess their recreational choices around vaping. I'm not going to ever be a supporter of vaping. A, I think it looks ridiculous, and B, I do think it normalises the idea of and it may be cultural, I don't care, but normalise the idea of something going into people's mouths.
Sure, but I mean, there are stories from countless people on the web that claim vaping has helped them quit smoking, and if evidence suggests that it is both a viable and safer alternative, don't you think vaping should be accepted with open arms? I mean, it could save people's lives if it's a lot safer than smoking.
I've always acknowledged that it is safer than smoking. Equally, I'm not going to be not going to say that it's not that's completely safe. I mean, to have seen with my own eyes one of my staff members vaping and then unable to talk for about 2 or 3 minutes successfully because she's had something hot in down her throat, and you think that cannot be. And we had medical evidence to back it up.
What evidence?
Fully healthy. Well, we had evidence from the doctor I mentioned speaking on behalf that it does actually cause oral cancers. Now, you've got evidence that says the other way. I don't know what to do with the conflict of evidence.
Well, you could look at the majority of it, and the majority of it does suggest that it does not cause cancer. I mean, there was an expert independent evidence review published by Public Health England, and they concluded that vaping is around 95% less harmful than smoking. And if it's used as a nicotine replacement therapy, then surely it should be accepted. If we're getting smokers onto vaping and vaping is healthier, then why not accept that?
I'm not saying it's not 95% a healthier option by any means. I'm saying what's the other 5%?
Sure, you know, but if people are originally smoking, right,
I know,
then you'd prefer them to be vaping, surely.
Absolutely, of course. I don't see how my position is different to yours. But I'll tell you something. You've got lots of people on the web saying how it's assisted them quitting smoking. I have lots of people saying, hey, it was a gateway for my kid. Now, there's no evidence about that. It's anecdotal on your behalf and my behalf. But the fact is...
There's also medical evidence that says it does help with getting off tobacco.
I've not seen that medical evidence, so you're in a stronger position than me. I have not seen that, and it was not presented to us. What we had is a very experienced medical professional speaking on behalf of a group of physicians saying there is evidence that it causes health issues. And, you know, when you hear that, it's as clear as a bell. Now, you're presenting something that I haven't read. It might be well true. So when we review this policy, I'm sure the vaping industry and individuals who have benefited from it will present some of that evidence to us. But the fact is, we go on what's in front of us just the same as any court of law or any council in New Zealand has to do. We follow the evidence. The evidence is there. We ignored the stuff that's anecdotal, even though, you know, you have to say that it's quite cynical when a vaping retailer is offering nicotine along with the liquid that's purchased. I don't think there's many answers to that.
Well, nicotine's not actually that bad for you, though. So I understand it's addictive, but there's no evidence that it causes cancer.
When you're being offered nicotine, and nicotine is more readily available into your bloodstream by smoking, then you've got to look at that passing over of that free bottle of liquid to someone who's purchased, well, I don't know, Cherry Ripe Vapor or whatever it is.
Has that been confirmed, though? I mean, you were just talking about the validity of anecdotal evidence.
No, it's absolutely confirmed. It happened the morning of the hearing. The person went in there, it was a council staff member, went in there, purchased it, and was offered free nicotine.
You said it was because... they gave it for free because it's illegal to sell it, right?
That's right.
So is that not a legislation issue? I mean, the government is making moves to legalise it.
Sure it is, but what I'm saying is, I agree, it's a legislative issue, but you've got to look at the cynicism of that retailer and think that's so cynical to offer an addictive substance that, in fact, is better deployed in a cigarette as part of a vaping sale. To me, there's no way around pretending that's anything but concerning.